Hello, everyone. I'm Ainhoa Arbizu, and this is Moving Forward, the podcast powered by SEAT to talk about innovation, technology, industry, and all those issues that play a fundamental role in improving society. June is LGBTI plus Pride Month, in which the collective for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, intersexual, and others celebrate diversity around the world. But not everybody knows the origin of this celebration. In the last days of June, in 1969, New York City was flooded with a series of demonstrations. They were protesting against a police raid at the Stonewall Inn, and its cause was discrimination towards LGBTI plus people. Those riots paved the way for a more inclusive and diverse society and remained a symbol through the years, a symbol of the fight for human rights. Over 50 years later, Pride Month is now a celebration, but also a way to remember there's still a lot of work to do in order to achieve total inclusion, clear acceptance, and zero discrimination, not only on the LGBTI plus side, but also for other discriminated collectives because of their skin color, their origins, their gender, or their religion, amongst other things. Now, how can we contribute to making diversity effective in all social spheres? And even more, how should companies deal with diversity to promote inclusion? Today, at Moving Forward, we're going to talk about it. And that's why we have with us two experts in diversity. Thomas Meyers, welcome, Thomas.
Hello, thanks for having me.
It's a real pleasure. Thomas Meyers is Chief Governance and Legal Officer at SEAT-SA and a known diversity ambassador and advocate. He belongs to several LGBTI plus visibility and inclusion programs, such as Pride Moves Us, the Network for LGBTI plus SEAT Employees and Allies, and is also a supporter of values stated at SEAT Diversity Manifesto. And we also have a live connection with Germany with Anna Christina Kronert. It's a real pleasure. Hello, Anna Christina.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure for me to be there.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Anna Christina Kroner is an author and chairwoman at Charter of Diversity, an organization with focus on diversity and inclusion as a business success factor, which represents over 3,900 companies and approximately 40% of all employees in Germany. Over the last 30 years, she has been working in several large corporations, including managing partner talent at EY and Chief Human Resources Officer at Allianz Deutschland AG. With her experience in finance and risk management, as well as transformational journeys, she believes in a human-centric economy as a basis for value-driven sustainable growth. So, welcome to you both. Our pleasure. Well, let's get started at the beginning. Diversity, inclusion, and society. Anna Christina, where are we now exactly?
Oh, we are on a journey. I think we all know that diversity is there. It's a concept of nature. And we all know that monoculture is not good for us as human, and not for the planet and not for business. So we have a diverse society, but sometimes we lack diversity in decision-making processes.
Thank you, Thomas. Where are we now?
I think it's right. We're on a journey. You know, I think things move slowly. Things are moving, but they are moving slowly. And, you know, I myself, I'm one of the gay managers or top managers at SEAT and also in the Volkswagen Group. And there is a lot that could move faster. We're working on it. It will take a little bit more time, but at the end of the day, I think, you know, it should be normal for all of us to be in a very diverse and inclusive environment also at work.
We're in this journey, and in this sense, inclusion is something to promote also at a corporate level. So, Anna Christina, where are we when it comes to diversity on business and companies?
Yeah, there I have to say Tom is right. We're very slow in the progress of having a diverse management structure I can say that if you're looking in the companies, you see a lot of diversity, but we're lacking to bring them up to in the career model to the first and second layer of management. So there is a lot to be done. It's always, if we talk about the diversity at the Charta, we say we have all kind of dimensions. So everyone has different dimensions of diversity in themselves. But if we look at the companies, of course, we usually look at that, what you can see, and not what you, whom you love, or what your living model is like. And there, we have to do a lot more to talk about what's, you know, being as a whole. And that's very important, because this is the glue that forms in society or a company and brings us to be innovative and connected with our clients and employees. So if we are connected, we are a lot better, we are more innovative, we are more creative, and it's a business success factor. So we have to make sure that we find everyone up to the top level in the top management and in decision-making process if we develop products and stay connected with our employees.
Thomas, what about you? What do you think? Where are we when it comes to diversity on business and companies, yeah, such as CRSA?
Yeah, I think you know, a lot of companies, and we could do the same, they refer to the, let's say, the some of the diversity aspects that they already have. For example, at SEAT, we have more than 60 nationalities working at us. We have people who, not all the same, but overall speak 26 languages. And for many companies, this is already some big sign that we are super diverse. And the answer is probably no, because it's just one single aspect, which is in this case origin, and Anna Christina referred to the different dimensions. And I think you know, we have different dimensions, people from different dimensions, older, younger, origin, whom we love, gender, more women in management, things like that. Women in the company overall as well. But I think the room where we need to improve most is to have an inclusive environment. You know, not only that people are there, but that we allow them to participate, to raise their voice, to maybe say, oh, you know, maybe this is not working yet, and only this connection between a diverse team in the future, hopefully more diverse team, and having an inclusive environment, this makes the whole thing work at the end of the day.
So we have to work more in the inclusive environment, but also, how can companies contribute to making a diversity-friendly work environment free of prejudices?
Yeah, there you go. Inclusive environment. So it starts at the top.
That's the key word.
And that's the key word. It starts at the top management. You know, I've seen so many companies where only the people that speak up loud are heard. And we all know not everyone likes to speak up loud. That's one dimension of diversity. So we have introverts, and they have to be listened to. And there, it's where it started. So if you have a top management that is more, you know, on the dominant, loud way of managing a company, and they don't start listening to all the other ideas. And I've seen so many great people with great ideas that haven't been heard, then you don't make this inclusive environment that's necessary to, you know, have all the ideas and the success factor, because business is all about having options. So you only get options if you listen to different perspectives. So you start there as a top management to be an inclusive leader. That's the most important part. And then, of course, you analyze your organization. You look at how many people do I have from what kind of background. Am I opening a market somewhere and I'm only coming from a totally different country, so I don't listen to the client base at that country, for example? then you're making big mistakes. And as we all know, decision-making processes of buying cars, for example, are made by women in majority. And we have seen a lot of surveys to that. So if you're just having a marketing and branding department doing, you know, brand campaigns for men, you're just leaving out a big portion of your client base. So you really have to look in all the value chains. So it's not an HR topic or some one diversity manager within your company. It's top management attention. It's from, you know, production to client to, of course, employee engagement. So it's not easy. It's not done by having one diversity manager or just one idea, you know, rhetoric courses for a woman, how to learn to speak up, but it's a lot more. So you have to have a set of instruments and an inclusive mindset. And I could tell you all kind of instruments you could invent, but we leave it by there right now.
Okay, well, but what about the other way around? How can a good diversity plan help the company grow and develop?
So I think a diversity plan is super important because you know, you need to define activities, you know, talking about the activities of the company, in the company, by the employees. We also have the LGBT group, Pride Moves Us. We do have the support by the board and by the executive committee. And then you need to define what are your goals, where are you, what are your goals, and then you need to define who's working in that. And at SEAT, when it comes to LGBT, you know, like in the rest of the Volkswagen groups, you know, everywhere there are the LGBT networks which came up at SEAT just last year. So the group is still young. And then we define the activities, meet regularly, and then we are also trying, and I think we are already quite successful, trying to be visible, first of all, within the company. So we show our faces, I myself, my colleagues, we have a speaker for the LGBT group, but also outside of the company, because we want to show other colleagues who might want to join that group, that activity group, to do so. Or maybe they are still hiding in their closet and don't want to join for whatever reason. We are there if they might have a question and just want to talk one-on-one, for example, so they know our faces, they know our names. That's very important. And the same applies to the other dimensions which Anna-Christina mentioned. So what about women overall in the company? What about women in management? I'm a true believer that this is one of the most important pillars of diversity overall, that we do have more women in management, because for whatever reason it is, and I think we could spend 2 hours talking about that here, where we don't have the time to do that, discussing why is that women are maybe a little bit more open to some of the other topics where men aren't. But we see progress there as well. I think, for example, at SEAT we have a little bit more, if I'm not mistaken, a little bit more than 20% women overall in the company. Not too bad for an automotive company. And we have around 25% in the management. So that's also not too bad in entire Volkswagen Group. It's not where we should be, in my personal view, but this is where we are, and we go step by step.
Step by step, not too bad, but there's still a lot of work to do anywhere in the world. And focusing on the LGBTI plus community, now that we're in the Pride Month, Tom, you're part of Pride Moves Us at SEAT. Why do you think it's important to have organizations like this within a company? You gave us some examples before, but why is it so important?
You know, if you want to hear my personal answer, I think it needs to be totally normal to work as an LGBT person in a company. You know, you go to work, somebody talks about his work and weekend, I can talk about my weekend. This is normality. I don't want to, I personally don't want to hide, and I don't want anybody else needing to hide because it's, it looks as whatever peculiar to do that. So there needs to be, respect for the other one. Mm-hmm. It's, I was just reading a really nice article these days where it was talking about why people should not talk about tolerance, you know, because we are not tolerating a colleague. We are respecting the colleagues as we ourselves want to be respected. And whether that applies to somebody who's lesbian or a trans person or somebody who's just, you know, older, even though the team is somehow overall very young, and or somebody's from a country where he doesn't speak, in our case, maybe the Spanish language so well, or myself, I'm from Germany, I'm just learning Spanish to get better in that, you know, just respecting each other, having a normality where I can, where I don't need to put any energy in being accepted and respected. And at the same time, I'm motivated because of that work environment. And I'm actually, because of that motivation, have even more energy to put it into my job. This is the goal. And I think with this visibility that we create with a group of Pride Moves Us, this is really helpful. It works, it's growing. And we are doing a lot of activities, and we are very visible both inside and outside. And, you know, we do all these activities. We meet with the board now in a while, once in a while, with Xavier Ross, our vice president HR. And it, so far, I can really say it works well.
Thank you, Thomas. And to guarantee diversity and inclusion in the future, we must take action in the present. As a society, what should the next steps be in this sense, Ana Cristina?
I just want to add something to the LGBT community, because, you know, we have done a lot of service over the years, and it's like it, at the workplace, you don't talk about whom you love. And that's very important to know, because it is something people don't feel comfortable to talk about. And that's why it's so important to talk about it loud and, you know, be in a network and stand up, because there are a lot of people not able to bring their whole personality at the table because they tend to hide part of their personality. And if you're on the way of building an inclusive environment because you want to be a learning culture and be able to adapt for future challenges, you have to bring that space and that culture to the workplace that everyone just feels totally themselves, as Tom just said, and can doesn't have to concentrate on hiding things. And we have seen that with religion and LGBTQI community, because that are things where people don't feel comfortable about. Gender, you see, you know, it's not always obvious, but it's more obvious than other. And this is the same in society. You know, we have seen, and that's why we're celebrating Pride Months, and we're celebrating diversity weeks and days, and we're doing that European-wide and worldwide. That's why we're standing up for the Black Lives Matters community. And this is so important because people, you know, they have their pictures in their head how, like, politicians or government leaders have to be like. And we just want to shake up a little bit and say the picture that you have in your head might be the picture that it has been out of the past. But, you know, if we want to cope with the future and the planet and grow healthy on this planet, the economy, we have to think new, more in collaboration. And therefore, as Tom just said, we need this respect for each and everyone, wherever you come from, whomever you love, whatever kind of family structure you have. Like, families have been, you know, in the past pretty easy, like two children, a man and woman, but mm-hmm. they changed over years as well. We have patchwork families and all kind of community developments. And this is why we as a diversity community just stand up and show how diverse the society is and how diverse decision making should be. And that's the future.
Ana Cristina and Thomas, it's so inspiring listening to you. It's like you talk about the inclusive environment, normality, respect. Now we have some questions from within the company employees for you to answer. Can we go with the first one? I think the first one is for both of you. So let's go with the first one.
Hi, I'm Andrea Bertomeu from HR Learning and Development. And I would like to ask, why do you consider it is important to celebrate the Pride Day? Thank you.
Okay, Thomas, you can start if you want.
So, yes, I'm sorry. Pride Day is, and also Pride Month, and which is now also a European Pride Month, which I'm very happy that this is the case. I think it's super important because for all the reasons that, you know, we remind ourselves and the others around us that we are there. You know, we are there, and some say we are there, and we are many. Who, whatever diversity dimension we are talking about, and I think that this is at the end of the day. I mean, I think the normality should be at some point in time we don't need it anymore. And the year obviously has 365 days, and not one day or one month. And this is where we need to get. But at the moment, and I think absolutely for the next years, we need that it's kind of a trigger for this topic. We remind ourselves. There is also a little bit of pressure overall from the outside, from the inside, to see, okay, what do companies, but not just companies, also universities, governments, organizations, what do they do about it? Do they give figures? If they don't give figures, why don't they give figures? Do they have a problem with it? Are they working on it? So this is why I think it's very important that we have them. It's not, as some people say, it's the party time. Yes, maybe there is whatever Christopher Street Day in Berlin or in Barcelona or in Madrid or something like that. Totally fine, people meet, people have fun. But it's at the end of the day, it's still a very political day and month, and we still need it. But I'm hoping that one day we won't need it anymore, because, you know, it will be normality, and maybe then it's more non-political thing. But today it's still a very political issue.
Ana Cristina, something you want to add?
It's probably not a lot to add, because Tom just said it all. I mean, we are celebrating differences. And I think this is whatever kind of dimension we celebrate differences. And we see that differences matter and makes itself better. So we open up minds of people that don't feel comfortable to talk about a dimension they haven't met or they have no relationship with. And there they have the possibility to get to know things they didn't know. So to learn, to leave their comfort zone. And that's all about learning. Yeah, I think you're from the learning department. So I always believe that you can only learn and grow if you open your comfort zone. So if you stay in your comfort zone, you don't learn anything new. So right now we make it a little bit less comfortable to be, you know, looking at a world that's equal, because we are showing the differences. So there we start to grow.
Open up minds. Thank you.
Let's
go with the
minds.
Let's go with the second question. Thank you, Ana Cristina.
Hi, I am Laura Vidal from Employee Engagement and Innovation, and I wanted to know, why do you think the LGBTI community is important for the company? Thank you,
Thomas. I think this one is directed for you.
Yes, I think it's so important that we have a network. Our network is quite new. I mean, we started last year. It's growing. I'm super happy that it's growing. I'm also part of it, of the let's call it core team. We show our faces. We show our names. I think it's very important to build up visibility within the company. There might be more people, there will probably be more people who might be interested to join. And people can join us, but they can also contact us individually if they have questions, maybe they have doubts, maybe they have problems, maybe they don't know how to deal with it. So it's a community which is already also connected to the executive board here at SEAT, which is important, which is also listening to us. We have regular meetings with Xavier Ross, the group has it, and it's working well. We are also interacting with external companies in Barcelona and in Spain, which is important, even though we are just existing a little bit more than a year. So it's all about visibility, creating a little bit more normality, and happy to have more people, maybe also because of this podcast, to either join us or contact us with anything they have.
Thank you. Let's move to the third and last one.
My name is Normand and I work for SEAT. I know that Volkswagen Ireland is sponsoring the Dublin Pride, and that We Drive Proud from Volkswagen is marching in the Berlin Pride. I'd like to know what SEAT is going to do in Barcelona's Pride.
Yes, directly.
So I think that's another question for me, and I don't think I know that Volkswagen was marching in the Berlin Pride, which was 2019. That was something really big for all the Volkswagen colleagues. I was part of the early team starting to organize it. That was wonderful. Everybody was super proud that Volkswagen said, "Hey, yes, do that," and they organized everything. Obviously, because of COVID last year and also this year, it's all just online. And what do we do in Barcelona? So number one, we will have a round table at Casa SEAT in Barcelona regarding LGBT diversity. And we have employee testimonies, employees talking about themselves, about their personal stories, including their families. And this we do at Casa SEAT together with other companies and with REDI together, the first business network for LGBT plus diversity inclusion in Spain. And I think the name is Gala Dia Internacional Orgullo Casa SEAT, Familias, Empresas y Diversidad. And people are, I think, everybody can join that one. Then we do masterclasses and internal events to raise awareness at SEAT. And then, I'm not allowed to talk about it right now, but then we have also a surprise which is waiting, but if I tell it now, it won't be a surprise. So let's stay tuned, let's relax and see what's coming.
Okay, we will stay tuned and relaxed. Looking forward to see what's coming, to see that surprise. Thank you, Thomas and Ana Cristina. Just to finish in a few words, what's your message for the next generation?
Keep on asking us if we are building an inclusive environment, being, you know, curious, and don't let others put you in a space you don't want to be. Just be as an individual and speak up, you know, be self-confident and don't change anything from your personality when you enter a company and your leader is telling you that you're supposed to do something. At least question it. So stay speaking up and embrace differences, of course.
Thank you. Thomas, what about you? A message for the next generation?
I think that it's super important if we want to change something, whether it's now in society or at work, which is part of society and where we spend a lot of time. I think we need not to wait for others to do it. So we should not wait for others to do it. We need to do it ourselves. And it might be more difficult to do it alone. So it's always good to look around. Okay, where is a network? Where is some group that might help? What about a benchmark with others? But we need to do it, and also the individual need to do it. This also applies to myself. This is why I'm very engaged in the topic diversity and inclusion. And then we will see changes. If we just wait for others, we won't see the changes. And in addition, we won't see them fast enough.
Thank you. Differences matter, open up minds, speak up, visibility, normality, inclusive environment, respect. We definitely have something to think about. Thank you so much to both of you for joining us on Moving Forward. Ana Cristina Kronger, it's been a pleasure to have you with us today. And Thomas Meyers, thank you also for being with us today. I hope you both found this conversation interesting. Thank you both.
Great. So thank you for having me. And hope to see you in Barcelona when you're doing something exciting with surprises.
Okay. Thanks a lot as well from my side. And thanks for joining to the two of you. Thanks a lot.
And a big thanks to our listeners for choosing us. Thank you all for listening to Moving Forward. Stay tuned for our upcoming episodes. You can find us on Spotify and other digital platforms and the SEAT SA social media channels. I'm Ainhoa Arbizu, and as you know, keep moving forward.